Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
Welcome back to The Wire, and what's happening at the council, Oscar?
Well, this week, with the budget decision due to be released on Thursday, I spoke to Pippa Coombe about the final moments of forming an emergency budget. The consultation process, which ended last month, saw a record 34,000 pieces of feedback submitted to the council and seemed to be split down two lines. I started by asking Pippa Coombe why she thought there was such high engagement with this consultation process and how council uses this information.
I think the fact that it was framed as an emergency budget, so we'd already consulted on the annual budget, which we do every year, and that happened just before lockdown. And then council's finances changed radically because of the COVID-19 crisis. And so we found ourselves with a revenue gap that we weren't anticipating going into the new financial year. And so for the first time ever, we were consulting on what was called the emergency budget. And I think that really highlighted to Aucklanders that this was a really significant time to give feedback. And so people who might never have thought to give a submission to a council process were really motivated to do that for the first time, because I think people have quite strong opinions about the best way that we can recover from the crisis. So the feedback was divided pretty much along the lines of, you either have an austerity approach where you do big cut, particularly around big job losses and what's considered to be around the fat of council. And then you had those saying, well, actually, this is a time that we need council services the most and we need to retain jobs and we should keep spending and we should do investment in the environment and all those areas that might help us better recover from a crisis. So that's what generated the feedback, and also the fact that what is proposed is a rates rise, which potentially that does seem a bit counterintuitive, that when everyone's tightening the belt, councils come along and actually needing to put the rates up. In terms of your question around how do you collate all that information, luckily we've got a team that has put it through a bit of a process that they go through to pull out the main themes and what the sentiment is that came through in the feedback, and have dissected it down into pie graphs and commentary, and that's called a consultation summary, which is on the council website now.
Indeed, that report summarises the themes, attitudes and solutions within the public feedback submitted to council, and as mentioned, can be found for public access on the council website. I continued by asking how the council deals with such divided opinion to create a solution for such a complex issue for all of Tamaki Makaurau.
Well, in terms of our decision making, councillors need to take into a range of factors. So we're not just looking at the submissions, because even though we have 34,000 submissions, that's still a very small percentage of Aucklanders overall. So we have to look at all the information that's available for us and also weight the feedback and have a look at kind of what the themes were that came through. And I think particularly, say, for my ward and where I represent the city centre in the Gulf Islands, there was a majority support for the rates rise and at 3.5%. So taking that into account and then looking at how the feedback landed regionally, which was pretty evenly split, but looking at what people still think is important and where the investment needs to be. I mean, where you had lots of feedback saying, we want you to keep spending on our favourite project, but we want a zero rates rise, you have to kind of can't have both. So you factor that in. And then another issue that we've had to take into account going into the decision making this week is the fact we're being asked to find another $220 million to respond to the drought. So Watercare hadn't anticipated at the beginning of the year having to spend so much to ensure that Aucklanders keep getting water. So that's been another issue. So our hole is actually bigger than we thought. So that's all got to be kind of weighed up as we go into the decision-making meeting on Thursday.
Indeed. And with such feedback being divided often along ward lines, we discussed how we can equitably move forward making decisions about funding and spending across those ward lines.
We have to ensure in terms of, we're collecting the rates right across the region, but there's a lot of weighting that goes into, well, how can we ensure equity across Auckland? So, that's something definitely I want to see in the budget, is that we don't just cut, say, jobs and projects the same across Auckland. We try and target where we can provide the most support into areas of Auckland that might need it more. It would be to continue projects and investment and facilities and services that are targeted to particular areas of Auckland. The impact of the budget doesn't land the same way. It's difficult. If you look at, a lot of what happens on the ground is through the local board budgets. And local boards do get a budget based on population. And then there is an equity rating. And then there's also a bit of weighting done. So if you're on Aotea Great Barrier Island, per person, you're getting more rates funding than if you for other parts of Auckland. How local boards have their budget, there's a bit of a formula. And then it's in each local board, there might be historic investment and historic funding for particular facilities. And that's where you've got an issue that, say, some local boards might have a swimming pool because that's what they had from their previous council, but they don't. But in other local boards, they don't have so many facilities or services. So what we need to try and see is a budget that kind of evens up some of that historic inequality. And then you've got things like some local boards, for example, fund, like in the south, free access to swimming pools, everybody, not just children, and then they're funding that from a targeted rate. So there's different ways of doing it, but overall, we are going to see, unfortunately, a lot of projects cut and a lot of cuts to facilities and services that is going to have an impact right across Auckland.
Continuing on the theme of impacts on the budget and impacts of the budget, we continued by discussing how a lack of communication from central government around shovel-ready infrastructure and where the funding for each project is going has kind of affected the final outcome of what will be announced on Thursday.
Yeah, well, it's hugely frustrating that we haven't heard from government on the shovel-ready projects, because that would make a huge difference to the final budget and also the projects that we can progress. So if we know, for example, that Auckland Council's definitely going to have 200 million of projects funded, then we would be able to reprioritise in the budget and wouldn't have to make such severe cuts. So government's already indicated that Auckland is going to get about 500 million, but only one project's been actually announced. So we don't know particularly we need to know about transport projects. Like if government was going to fund some of our transport projects, that would make a huge difference. And we really need to know, in the next couple of days. It's not a great position to be in. And I know, there's probably the politics of the coalition and leading into the election, but, government's taking an approach of investment, borrowing, invest, trying to encourage growth for the recovery, but Auckland's being forced to take the opposite approach because we can't, we've got limits on what we can borrow. It's getting really urgent now, so really hoping that we, I'm not giving up hope that we will hear something in the next couple of days, because it will make an absolutely massive difference.
And finally, we concluded our discussion this week by talking about the impact of the budget and the interactions it has with the Climate Action Plan set to be established on the 21st of July.
Well, the Climate Action Plan, we're approving it after the budget decision. And so this financial year, there weren't a lot of proposals in it that were particular climate action initiatives. The idea is that we've got a whole lot of actions from the plan and they're going to be costed up going into the 10-year budget next year. And that was always the plan, to do it that way, pre-COVID. And so we've just continued that through. I guess in terms of some of those actions that are going to be identified, like, for example, trying to encourage more public transport use or switching to EV buses, that's potentially going to be slowed up because of the budget, because of the emergency budget. So when you think about across Auckland, how can we decarbonise across Auckland, there isn't going to be a lot of specific funding in the emergency budget, not for new initiatives or proposals. That will all happen next year. It will be just as hard. It will be a very difficult decision again next year in terms of where we get the funding from that we need for that climate action plan.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95 BFM.